Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Good morning, good morning. Wow, I feel high and lifted up this morning. Wow, this is really cool, really cool. Hey, we had an awesome time this week. Man, the Holy Spirit just did a lot of things. We got to spend some really, you know, it's amazing. We hang around each other, and yet it's really amazing how hard it is to spend time together. And we had a chance to do some of that this week. So excited about that. You know, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. For everyone that stands up here and preaches or teaches, this process is not flat. What I mean by that is you start studying, you start looking at stuff, and you know, the Holy Spirit just kind of wrecks you. I mean, the Holy Spirit messes with you. The Holy Spirit doesn't allow you just to talk about stuff or talk to you about stuff. He talks to the person. He talked to me. So this message really kind of wrecked me. I was had some time to think about it. I'm kind of a crock pot preacher. What I mean by that is I think about things and I throw things in the crock pot and I let it kind of stew a while and I pray about it and God will do something else. I can do that now. There was a time when I pastored a little church and I was probably preaching 3 or 4 times a week. And, don't worry, it wasn't very good, but I mean, you know, it was kind of like, I started to say it was like fast food. I don't even think it was like fast food quality. It's probably like frozen dinner quality, you know, just trying to sling it out, do the best you can. So anyhow, this is continuing on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, Jesus, this King, this Savior, the Son of God, with all his power and all his ability, it's amazing what he can say in just a few words. And I mean, without me wanting him to, without me trying to, I mean, he just gets me. He gets in me. And so today we want to talk about a disciple is not critical. Wow, a disciple's not critical. So I'm going to read out of Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite." Oh, Jesus. "First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, you know, in looking at this and reading what a bunch of smart people wrote about it, it's a little unfortunate that the English word here is used judge. Because usually to judge something, to make a judgment of something, you're making a considered decision. You're trying to discern something. And there's an application of that a little further on in Matthew in verses 15 through 20, talking about true and false prophets, people who are trying to exercise influence and leadership in the church. And we're supposed to test the prophets. We're supposed to test the fruit. We're supposed to inspect the fruit. And that's so judging is actually more fitting there. This is talking about being in a community. And I know for many of us, me included, that is a really tough thing to wrap my brain around. Most of my life, I don't know where I picked this up, but I always have this mentality, it's me, myself, and I, and God. And God's like, no, you're part of something else. And how you think, how you talk, how you love, and how you behave is in the context of community. So it's not just about you, Harry. You cannot only think about you. It's not only what you think, what you believe, or what you think things have to be. It's about for the good of the other. And I'll be honest with you, that's a tough sell for me sometimes. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So anyhow, so rather than using the word judge, This is the writer of Matthew is starting from the place of a sustained concern for the other. So I thought, man, I'm going to read this and I'm going to learn how to like dish it out on Facebook. Boom! That isn't what this is even about. In fact, it's not about what I direct to others, as we'll see in a moment here. It's really about, oh my God, look inside of me. But the writer of Matthew, so it talks about my brother's eye, the speck in my brother's eye. So this is about family. This is about community. This is about caring for the other. Our friend Eugene Peterson, in his great work, The Message, starts off the first few verses this way. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want to get the same treatment. And this next part, I really want you to just, if you forget everything else this morning, that critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. That critical spirit. And I think this is the thing that, and I'm going to use Harry for an illustration, and the reason I'm going to do it, because Harry needs it, but if I talk about Harry, you won't get mad at me. If I talk about this or that or the other, you'll get mad and you'll get upset. But I'm going to talk about Harry this morning. So you just pray for Harry, all right? So like everything that's wrong, everything, you know, you just lay that on Harry this morning. That critical spirit. I am so good at finding what's wrong in you. And I can elocute it so well. I think I'm being so righteous and holy and spiritual. Oh, it's spiritual. But it's not the right kind of spirit. That critical spirit. So I want you to listen to something this morning. And I know what you're thinking right now. Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? Just stay with me. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. And what God wrecked me with this week, says, Harry, when you do that, when you give in to that, when you develop the habit of that, see, it's not a one-time thing. It's not like, well, I saw this, I thought this, I heard this, so boom. It becomes a habit. It becomes a way of thinking. It becomes a way of processing information. It becomes a way of thinking of other people. Here's the thing. I think I'm thinking it about them, and without even realizing it, I'm thinking that about me. I become critical about everything. Criticism does not stay compartmentalized. It does not stay in a box. And you know why? Because there's an enemy of your soul and my soul that doesn't want it to stay in a box. He wants it to be contagious. He wants it to take over your life, take over others, every aspect of influence that you have. He wants that to contaminate everything. All right. There's a parallel passage in Luke 6, 37 and 38. It says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So for Harry, again, remember, we're talking about Harry this morning. So everybody here gets to skate. Sit back, evaluate Harry. So what this is saying is, if Harry doesn't want to be judged, Harry shouldn't judge others. If Harry doesn't want to be condemned, Harry shouldn't condemn others. If Harry wants to be forgiven, Harry's going to have to lean into the process of forgiving others, including Harry. Harry is going to learn this principle of reciprocity, that what Harry gives and the way Harry gives, not only in the act, but in the thought. Because you remember all this stuff with Jesus, it's all about from the inside out. It's not just in the actions. It's not just in the words. Because, man, we are all good legalists. Man, we can parse words. Well, you said this, and you said that, and you used this word, and you used that word. Yeah, but what was the spirit behind the words? What was the spirit around the thoughts? Glo has spent most of our married life, which is over 43 now, and she's wondering, what is he going to say? What is he going to say? What is he going to say? Trying to teach me that it's not only about the words, but it's about the tone. It's about the physical. It's about the body language. What is Harry communicating? And, you know, I've used this scripture a number of times. How many of you have ever heard this scripture in the context of finances? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know what that is? That's when you scoop it in. That's when you tump it on the thing, and you scoop it in, and you tump it in, you scoop it in, and you shake it together. I mean, you can't get any more in there. And when I want somebody to give me something, when I want God to give me something, I don't want any gaps. No voids. Pour it on. Pour it on. Pour it on. Sorry, I'm getting excited. But God is saying here, he said, if that's the way you want me to treat you, if that's the way you want others to treat you, Harry, you got to learn to treat others this way. The message says generosity begets generosity. Paul told us in Galatians 6 and verse 7, he says, Harry, do not be deceived. Remember, we're talking about Harry this morning. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. So the question this morning is what is Harry sowing? Everybody knows sowing. I know we don't have a lot of farmers in here, but and I'm not a farmer either, but I grew up around farmers. And you can only harvest what you've planted. It doesn't come out of nothing. It doesn't come out of thin air. And I know there's lots of stuff out there that happens that we have no control over and no influence over. And that's not what Jesus is talking about there. He's talking about the stuff you do have influence over. What are you sowing? Harry, what kind of seed are you sowing? Now, let's look here in Matthew. We're going to break this down a little bit. Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. That's what the young folks say. We're going to break it down. And we want to look at perspective and blind spots. And then Jesus uses this language here. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I was kind of thinking about trying to go to a fun shop or something and get one of those arrows, you know, that goes over your head and sticks out both sides, you know. How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. And I know that's what that, man, that's a jazzy word we could get into. I'm going to leave that aside this morning. But this one, first, listen to me this morning. This is what I want you to focus on. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Why? And then you will see clearly. Let me just say that again. First, take the plank out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, what is this? What is this extreme language? Well, I didn't know, so I had to look it up. This is hyperbole. This is overstatement. It's a figure of speech in which statements are exaggerated and extravagant. And Jesus did that a lot, right? He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And there's some poor, pitiful people who thought he meant that. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, we know he didn't want us to mutilate or maim ourselves, but he was using extreme language to make a point. And in fact, we do this often. This is often the foundation of humor, comedy, something that's so extreme. I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. I don't even like horse. But you know what I mean. Extravagant language, extreme language, up and above, overloaded language to make a point. And what's the point? Or the thought is, why is it that my brother's speck looks like a plank that I must do something about? And why is it that I cannot see my own plank, or I don't want to see my own plank? That's the bugaboo. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, first of all, it's easier to see somebody else's plank. It's easier to see somebody else's stuff, right? I have a little bit of objectivity. We call that perspective. We often go to friends and loved ones and people we like and say, help me think this through. How many of you had that experience? You've gone to someone, you just talked a little bit about whatever the situation is, and they had a perspective, they had some objectivity that helped you think through what you were dealing with. You can raise your hand for this one. This one's safe. There you go. Good. A little bit of interaction this morning. I do this in coaching all the time. I listen, I ask a little question here or there, and I say, hey, what about this? And they go, wow, I never saw that. I never thought of that. And you know, every single person I talk to, they're smart, they're capable, they figure out lots of stuff. But this thing, whatever it is, they couldn't seem to sort of sort it out. How do I get past this? How do I become unstuck from this? So there is something about just the more objective perspective. And there's a good thing there where I can love you, I can help you, I can serve you. I do that in coaching all the time for pastors and church planters that I work with across our movement. But here is a more insidious aspect of why your speck looks like a plank, and why I can focus on yours and ignore mine. Now, you're not going to like this one. I don't like it. But remember, we're talking about Harry, so you just relax. It's called sin. I'd rather focus on your stuff than mine, because if I can focus on your stuff, if I can marshal all my resources and all my passion and all my thoughts and all my vim and vigor on you, I don't have to deal with mine. And I'm distracted. And I even can feel good. I can even make myself feel holy. Wow, this is great. I can use all kinds of Bible words and spirit words and God words and Holy Spirit words. But it's not. It's a distraction. And this is where the writer of Matthew was talking about being a hypocrite. It's not, you're not really caring about helping the other person. You just want to pretend that you don't have junk, planks that you need to deal with. But remember, we're talking about Harry this morning. I would rather focus on your plank instead of mine, is I don't want to deal with my stuff. It's painful. It's like, wow, I didn't know that was in there. I thought I got rid of that. You know, planks are different things, and planks are never one and done. I grew up in a part of the country where they had a paper mill country, and they cut down lots of trees and take them to the pulp and paper mill. And one of the things they had these huge chippers that you would debark the trees and chip them all up, and then they cook them and they'd make paper out of it. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I just had a chipper? I said, oh, there's a plank. Oh, let's get that plank out, stick it in the chipper, and it's done. It's not that simple, is it? Sometimes it's an old plank. Sometimes it's a new plank. Sometimes it's a whole collection of planks. But I first have to recognize it before I can do anything about it. So, now, why am I blind to my own planks? Well, I mentioned sometimes I don't realize it or I don't recognize it. Because see, again, this is the again. There's not a level playing field here. It's not just you and me and God. There's an enemy of our soul, and we think the devil's all into pitchforks and horns and demonic spirits, and we've all watched way too many movies and way too much TV. You know, he doesn't have to do that stuff. He doesn't have to do that stuff at all. I've met more demonic people in church than I have outside of church. You can be in church, you think you're good, you think you're holy, you did the sinner's prayer, you fell down, stood up, rolled over, whatever. But if you don't keep working on the C-R-A-P, I'll spell it out so it doesn't say, the C-R-A-P in your own life. And you know what it is? It's when somebody puts their finger on it. It's when somebody says something or does something, you go, whoa, I don't like that. I was in a doctoral program that's been alluded to, and I'll be honest with you, I wrestle with. I don't want to run around being, I'm Harry, and I got a really long last name, so oftentimes when I introduce myself to people, I'm just Harry. They go, Fritzenshaft, oh my goodness, that sounds like it's got 500, you know, letters in it. I'm just Harry. But I did a doctoral process, and in this doctoral process, you know, I went to some different countries, and in this cohort, there was 16 people, and half were men and half were women, and probably a third or a fourth were people of color, and at least two guys were from Kenya, and one guy was from New Zealand, and one was a lady pastor up in Canada, and oh my goodness, there were people from all over, and you cannot believe that they think differently than me. They see the world differently than I do. They've had a different experience than I have. And besides that, when I started this process, I was probably, I don't know, 60-something. I mean, my brain cells were older than their brain cells. And I will say this, and I say this to all of you, my dear friends. It's hard to deal with your planks the older you get. Because to do that, you got to stay fresh. You got to lean in, and I don't mean another woo-hoo experience. Again, that's fine, you know, bounce, jump, clap, whatever. That's all great. But it's in here what counts. What is God doing in here? Not what God did then or over there, but what is God doing in here today, now? That's the plank he wants to do it. So I went some places. I did some things. I had to read a ton of books. 99% of them I didn't like. Why are we reading this? Why do I have to read this? Remember, we're here to talk about Harry this morning. And my friend said, he said, Harry, I wonder when you're bothered like that, I wonder if you ought to lean in and say, why does that bother me? Why do I not like that? Why do I immediately think, that's wrong? That's just wrong. And not only is that wrong, but that person's wrong. Their spouse is wrong. Their kids are wrong. Their whole family's wrong. Their whole country's wrong. They're just wrong. Why am I like that? Why am I like that? He says, Harry, I wonder instead if you ought to look in your heart and see what are the buttons that are being pushed and why. I mean, he's not saying it's. He's saying, Harry, lean into the process of that feeling. What is God saying to you in that? And maybe it's not about the content. See, we get all, man, we swim in oceans and oceans and oceans of content and information, and we think that's where it's at. We think, man, we just say the right words the right way, get the right vocabulary, you know, cite the right sources, plug into this, plug into that. You know, we're going to get smarter, 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 and then we're going to figure it out. It's not up here, friends. It's in here. It's in here. Because let me tell you a little secret about humanity. We decide in here, and then we start working to find information that makes us feel good up here about the way we feel in here. That's the way it works. It doesn't work this way. It works this way. Now, again, we're here to talk about Harry this morning, so if you don't agree, you don't like it, you can just say, that's that nutcase, Harry. But peel back the layers of the onion and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me in this? Why does this jerk my chain? Why am I upset about this? Why do I not like this? In here. And then here's the thing that just, you know, it's just like, again, Jesus just messes. You know, Jesus just messes with me. He loves me, but he messes with me. He starts off with saying, Harry, do you even really care about the other person? Do you care? No, I don't care. I don't want to care. Okay, Harry, that's pretty obvious. But, you know, do you think you should care? I remember we started talking about this is about community. This is about brothers and sisters. And I was like, wow, this is great. I'll just convince myself they're not in my community. And then I can say anything to them I want. And Jesus is like, nope, that's not an out. Because you see, I want everybody in my community. And it doesn't happen. It happens through every single person inside the community. It says, you know, you may not be my brother or sister yet, but I would sure like you to be. And Jesus would like you to be. And so I need to think about you. I need to treat you. I need to honor you. I need to respect you. I need to listen to you. I need to listen. I was in an interview. Where am I on time? Sorry. I'm really not trying to go down rabbit trails. Anybody know who Dr. Andrew Young is? The great friend of Martin Luther King Jr. He was the mayor of Atlanta. He was ambassador to the United Nations. You know, just a real, you know, I've heard of him. But T.D. Jakes, a very well-known preacher, pastor in the Dallas area, has started a Pentecostal seminary primarily focused on folks who are part of the Black African diaspora around the world. So, you know, very focused on, and that seminary and my seminary kind of partnered together. And so I was invited into a conversation between T.D. Jakes and Dr. Andrew Young. And at this time, Dr. Andrew Young had to be about my mother's age, 85. And, you know, I thought about that. I said, my mom wouldn't even know what Zoom is. You know, he's on Zoom, and he's sitting in it wherever he's at in his home, and he's taking these questions. You had all these super smart grad students who all had their questions they wanted to ask the famous Dr. Andrew Young. And again, Pastor T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes was asking him. And one person, very understandably, had this very technical, very specific question about systemic racism and asked Dr. Andrew Young, about, you know, what should we be doing about it? Now, again, I'm a white guy. I'm an older guy. I'm 60-something. I'm listening in. I'm amazed, first of all, that this guy that's 85 has, you know, more stamina. He was on this call for over 2 hours. He had more stamina and more mental faculties than I'll probably ever have. But they asked him this question, you know, and so I was, you know, I'm going to listen to what he has to say. And I was shocked. And this is what he said. Again, from his context, okay? He says, you know, first we have to look inside and look in our own family. Now, we're talking about Dr. Andrew Young, not me. And he says, you know, I have a little granddaughter, and she crawls up in my lap, and she says, whatever she calls her, grandpa, you know, we're lighter than the other folks in our family. So the point in saying that is, you know, again, systemic racism, you know, all this passionate language, emotionally laden language. And he's just saying, first look inside. First look inside yourself and your own family. And the second thing he talked about when he was ambassador to the UN and, you know, folks wouldn't talk to each other on the floor and, you know, holler and scream and rant and rave and, you know, politely, of course. And so he would have folks to his home. He talked one time about the Palestinians and the Israeli party. Now, I don't know that they came together at his home at the same time, but he would often bring people into his home and have dinner. And they'd just be friends, and they would talk. And because he loved them, and they just had dinner together, they would talk to him even when they wouldn't talk to each other. And so that's how he did most of his negotiations, was around the dinner table in his home. And then the last thing, and I really hope that you listen to this. This was back when President Donald Trump was president, so I can't remember exact timing. But he said, you know, something was said about him, and he says, you know, I really want to like this guy. I really, really want to. And he went on to say, I wouldn't vote for him, but I really, really want to like this guy, all right? But then he went on to say something I've never, ever heard. So I'm thinking about, again, this is not about Donald Trump, but I'm just thinking about everything about Donald Trump is probably not the kind of stuff that Andrew Young would be about. But Andrew Young began to say, he says, you know, I have been so blessed in my life with my mother and my grandmother and my aunts and sisters. I have had so many women in my life that have loved me and nurtured me and have helped me to be thoughtful and considerate. And he said, I don't think Donald Trump ever had the blessing or the opportunity of that. He was primarily raised, again, this were his words, you know, in sort of a male-dominated, you know, competitive, you know, macho. And I was just shaken. I mean, he was kind. He was compassionate. He didn't rail. He didn't denigrate. He was loving. Why is it so hard to be loving? Why do we have to get so mad? It's so angry. It's so hateful. Why? I'm wrapping up. It says, then, so you deal, and I haven't talked about what the plank is. I have, you know, you got to talk to Jesus about that. And Jesus is talking to all of us right now about some planks in our life. So if you're wondering what ministry time is going to be about, well, I don't know if I should go or not go. You know, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you this morning about your plank, you need to get prayer. You need to get prayer this morning. Now, why? Why is it important to deal with a plank? Because then and only then will I see clearly. Then and only then will I see clearly. Not perfectly, but clearly. How many of you wear these? So we all kind of got this down. I mean, we can connect with it. You know, I remember when I first discovered I needed glasses. I was in the grocery store. Glo can tell you, I love grocery stores. I love grocery shopping. It's weird, I know, but I love it. And I couldn't read the signs on the aisles. Like, what's down there? So when I knew I needed, I think that's farsighted. I couldn't see. I needed glasses. I could see. I could stumble around. You probably didn't want me to drive a car around you, but I could, you know, I could be okay, but I couldn't see clearly. Now, how many of you that have these know you got to clean them? Right? You got to clean them. And again, I get the whole mask thing. I mean, I have extra compassion for people with glasses. I mean, it is a pain in the patootie. Right? Because you breathe and your glasses are always fogged up. You know, it's like our blessed Houston, right? You come out of AC and you can't see nothing. Because when you can't see, or when your seeing is impaired, you're not seeing clearly. Lo and I went somewhere to a place. Trying to find a little Airbnb. I think it was up around Seattle area. We came in late at night. I mean, we drove up and down and up and down. I'm pretty good. Glo can tell you. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff about Harry, but Harry's pretty good with maps and pretty good with sort of graphical orientation. I'm pretty good with that. And I could not find this place. I just could not find this place. Well, we eventually found it. Thank you, Jesus. And then the next morning during the daylight, right? I was like, this was easy peasy. Why was this so hard? Because it was at night. I wasn't used to being there. I couldn't see clearly. And all I'm saying to Harry and all of us this morning, that I have a constant and progressive need to see clearly. First of all, to see what is God doing inside of me. And it changes throughout life. The planks never go away. They just stack up if I don't deal with them. So, why do I need to focus? And I won't go down this rabbit trail. God's never asked you to inspect your specks. Don't look for specks of sawdust in your life. Just deal with the planks. Deal with the biggest one first. And then the next one, and then the next one. So I want to see clearly. The Holy Spirit has wrecked me through this passage this week so that I can see what God is doing in me. It doesn't mean it just goes away. It just means, Harry, I'm working on you in this area. I'm working on this area. Recognize you have a sensitivity in this area. Recognize you have a weakness in this area. Recognize that you have a plank in this area that I'm working on. And that is, then as I can see what God is doing in me, I can see much more clearly what God wants to do in the other. And it changes everything. The reason it changes everything is it changes the way I think, changes the way I feel, and therefore it changes what I say, how I say it, and what I do. So, worship team is going to lead us in worship this morning, and I want you to begin to just look inside, listen what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. And we're going to have ministry time this morning. If you want prayer for anything, obviously come up. But I think this morning the Lord is wanting to talk to us about our planks and what He'd like to do about them.
Yeah. to say.
That's right, Lord. You come to restore and deliver and save. If you are here and you feel far away from God, I'm here to tell you that all He has for you is love and acceptance and forgiveness and another chance. You might say, I've done all my chances. There's another chance and another. And every week and every day is an opportunity for us to deal with our stuff and ask for forgiveness for ourselves, forgive ourselves, forgive the people that have wronged us, receive God's forgiveness, and move on. So if that's you this morning and you say, I want to ask for forgiveness because I need it. I need it. Let's just pray. We're only a prayer away. Faith is not a complicated thing that you need to go to seminary for. Faith is inside every one of us. And God's Spirit ignites it. So this morning, we're gonna have the Holy Spirit ignite our faith. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Cover me with your loving kindness. Accept me. Show me your ways. Show me how much you love me. I want to belong to you. See, God's not trying for you to fit in. He's trying for you to belong. Just like you are. Thank you, Jesus. And just wherever you are, online or here, like Sandy said earlier, just say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
We're going to have prayer teams on either side of the auditorium. Online, there's a button that you can hit there if you'd like somebody to pray with you. If you feel like God's speaking to you right now, we'd love to pray with you. We pray every morning at 9:30, and there's a couple specific things as well we feel like the Holy Spirit is up to. And if this is you, we'd love to pray with you. As far as physical healing, that somebody's having heaviness in their neck and shoulders, somebody's dealing with cloudy vision in their eyes, possibly cataracts, we'd like to pray with you. Some pain in elbows, feet, and calf muscles that we'd love to pray with you for. And then also that there's some people that God wants you to know that the dreams you have are starting to come alive. It's starting to bloom, that there's to delight in that, and that He will give you the desires of your heart. And also that you're struggling with where you're at, and God wants you to know that He wants you to grow where you're planted, and that there's an invitation there for growth in the midst of where you're at. As Harry and I were talking through the message and everything, we had some time to talk. It was really interesting to see how things progress. But one of the things that sort of captured me in this is that when we first take the plank out of our eye, it allows us to look at the world with a compassion we don't otherwise have. When we've received the grace of God in our own lives and the forgiveness of the own sins, the sins that we hold tight, the things that we use to project out to the world, it allows us to deal with the speck in front of us with deep kindness and compassion and grace as we've experienced that from God. So this week, my prayer is that as you look at the planks in your eye, the sins that sort of hold us and torture us and distort the way we see the world, that you would experience the kindness and grace of a loving Father, and then be able to extend that to those around you with specks in their eyes. And as you do that, this is our prayer. May the living God, the creator of all the heavens and the earth,
que el Dios vivo, creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Has sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship.